I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works. It's coming. It goes on and off whenever we want. We've got clean water.
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food.
I love food. A baseball? You gonna have work? This is awesome. Look, listen here.
The what?
Jack, be careful.
I have a car. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car.
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best. Amen. Kind of puts it into perspective, doesn't it? Merry Christmas. Everyone, turn to the person next to you and say, Merry Christmas. There you go. There you go. It's good to see everyone. Rich, it's good to see you. You're back in Arizona. Good to see you. Yeah. Well, it's that time of year again, and it's right before many open and unwrapped gifts. But as the video showed and demonstrated, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? A lot to be thankful for. Each day when we wake up is a gift. We turn the lights. It's a blessing. We pull out our gadgets. They're blessings too. Right? Our vehicles. Amazing. God is truly amazing. We're all blessed far more than we really deserve. But the greatest blessing, I believe, this morning, and respond if you agree, is Jesus. Amen. The greatest blessing that we have is Jesus. And today, what I'd like to do is look at a parable. We've been studying the parables over the last few months, and we're going to look at a parable this morning found in Luke 19. And it's the parable of the minas, call it the minas, or some people call it the talents or the pounds. And there's actually two parables of this kind, but they're different, and they take places at different times. And this parable takes place right before Jesus marches into Jerusalem and they declare him the king, right? They lay the palm branches down and they do this. This parable takes place right before. It's the last parable that Jesus tells before he's put on trial and put to death. And so as we start this morning and get into the Word of God, I want to ask a prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh, how we have so much to be thankful for. Father, from waking up in the morning to the food we eat, the cars we drive, our family members, our friends, and most importantly, we're thankful this morning for Jesus and what he's done. Father, as we open the Word of God this morning, I pray a blessing upon it. Lord, as we read through it, may you reach into our minds and our hearts and speak to each one of us, Father. And Father, may we walk away with a better understanding of your kingdom and our mission here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, the parable, let's go there. Luke 19. We're going to read it this morning, starting with verse 11. I'm going to read through this story. So if you're ready, we're going to go ahead and take off. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to where? Jerusalem, and because they supposed that, the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Right? He said to them, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him, and he sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. Then he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. What does this have to do with Christmas? Well, does God invest in his people? One person said yes, the rest of you don't think so. You can talk to me, it's okay. Does God invest in his people? How does God invest in his people? We talked about it this morning in Bible study. How does God invest in his people? Say what, Norma Jean? Gives each of us talents. How else does he invest in us? He died for us, okay? But how does that make an investment in our life here and now? How does his death invest in our lives today? Save us from sin? Show the love he showed us, we can show others, amen? Because with Christ in us, we can go out and show that to others. So this parable here, was told on the way to Jerusalem, as it said, and it was shortly before his triumphal entry on the donkey. And it was told to correct the misunderstandings about the kingdom of heaven. There were some misunderstandings going on about what was taking place. And not only did the Jews have misunderstandings, but Jesus' own disciples were having some major misunderstandings, right? Some thought that the kingdom would appear immediately. In other words, Jesus was going to ride into town on the donkey. They were going to wave the palm branches, which they did, declare him king, and he'd go take over who? Rome. And everybody, well, a lot of people wanted to see that happen. So he said, hang on, no. Let me tell you a story. And he used this opportunity to explain that his kingdom would not be readily apparent. And there would need to be faithful service in his absence. In other words, he was going to entrust and invest in his disciples and in his followers so that they could go out and use what he'd given them and get a return on his investment, right? How many of you, if I came in here on a Monday, And I had a financial class, and I said, hey, I have a guy down at Charles Schwab who says he'll take our $1,000, church family, each of us, we just do $1,000, and he'll turn it into three. How many of you would say, okay, sounds like a good investment, right? One to three, right? We'll get there. There you go. Yeah. No, what I'm trying to say is that when you hear of a good investment, you have to think about it. You ask the right question. You're the only one, Greg. No, I'm sure others were thinking it. But you have to think about what is being invested. How is it going to get return on the investment? And is it worth it? Right? So Jesus invests in us talents and gifts and expects us to use those gifts so he can have a return on his investment. And the thing that I want to bring out before I continue is that return on investment isn't about what you and I can do little by little by little and go out and say, well, I'm going to go out in the lobby there, I'm going to get Russ, and I'm going to get that visitor, and I'm going to get him in the baptismal tank. It's not about the end result. It's about allowing Christ to work through our situations, our gifts, and our talents on a day-by-day basis, right? So as we talked about this morning in our Bible study, if God has gifted you to give Bible studies, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to sit down with somebody and they're going to come to Jesus every single time, right? What it means is that God has given you the ability to give a Bible study, and you're going to fumble through some and bumble through some, or whatever you want to say, but people are going to have an encounter with Jesus because he's gifted you with that, and he's getting a return on his investments. He's using you as a tool, as an instrument here on planet Earth. Amen? But if you don't go step out in faith and take a chance and risk something, how can he get a return on his investment? In other words, if you stay in the status quo, in the box, and you don't take risks, you don't share Christ, you don't go outside of your comfort zone, then how can he get returns on his investments? You know, Jesus used a historical incident as the basis for this parable. I don't know how many have read this or not, or heard this, but there was a man named Archelaus. Does anybody know who that was? Archelaus? Anybody at all? Archelaus was the son of Herod. And Archelaus actually went from Jerusalem to Rome on an errand to gain a kingdom. And he came back, and this happened while Jesus was a boy in Nazareth. It was a matter of common knowledge at the time. And the historical background for this was that Archelaus, the son of Herod the Great, came to Rome to secure permission to reign a so-called client kingdom, a territory subject to Rome. But he was actually opposed by the people in that kingdom. So he didn't get it. So you know what he did? Archelaus went back to that kingdom. He took 3,000 of his enemies, lined them up, and killed them. He says, this is what you do when you don't follow me. So as this story was told, guess who they were thinking of? Archelaus, because this event that had happened. So in the parable then, a nobleman goes away and receives for himself a kingdom and returns. He calls his 10 servants, giving them each a mina. And a mina is different than a talent. A mina is about 3 months' worth of wages, whereas a talent was about 20 years' worth of wages. There's quite a difference. Mina, you're not going to have that much to invest. Telling them to do business until I come. So here in the story, too, there are citizens who send expression or delegate their displeasure with having a nobleman reign over them. And having received the kingdom, the nobleman returns. He calls for his servants and asks for an account. And one servant earns 10, right? He doubles his investment. It's pretty good. And he says, well, you can have more now. You have 10. You can oversee 10. And another one returns his original and earned five. And he was granted authority over five cities. Another one simply returned his original, which angered the nobleman, who then gave his to the others. And then those who did not want the nobleman to reign over them and didn't invest are slaughtered. So in this parable, it explains how the kingdom of God would not appear. It didn't appear as people thought. Jesus kind of threw this story out and said, you know, you all think this is going to happen this way, but let me tell you, it's not. It's not going to happen this way. It's going to happen a different way. And, you know, even today, there's many who don't choose to use the blessings, the gifts, and the talents that God has given them. There's people inside and outside churches that use and do not use these blessings. You know, this story also reveals the role of the disciple between the Lord's departure and his return, which means it's applicable for you and me today, right? So, the disciple is to be faithful while waiting for the king to come back. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. He said, I'm going away and I'm going to continue to invest in you so that there can be a return on these investments so that more people can be in the kingdom of God. Right? Amen. Today we're living in this time period between Jesus' ascension and his second coming. And he's given us a job to do. To share the gospel. To share the gospel. We're all given 10 pounds or minas or gifts and talents. And we're being entrusted with the gospel. And Jesus wants us to fulfill this. To be faithful. To keep on doing this until he comes. In whatever ways, big or small. You know, you got Peter who, you know, went out and preached to thousands and baptized thousands. But then you've got Andrew who, when he heard about Christ, what did he do? He went and told one person. Just one. So see, God can use us in different ways, at different capacities, and have different results. But the point is that God wants to use each one of us. I think we need to think about this time of year and all others, but as we reflect on Jesus being born and coming down to this world to live here and to die for us, we have to think about being faithful and serving him with what he's entrusted us with. Considering all he's done, you know, if we're faithful in the little things, then God can entrust us with more. Do you believe that? If we're faithful in the little things, then God can entrust us with more. You know, it was, what year was that, Lacey? 2004, when I came back into a relationship with God, and I didn't have a desire to be a pastor at all, okay? It wasn't even on my mind. But my desire, as I got to know Jesus through the book of Matthew, and I started going back to a church, started to worship, my desire was to be faithful in the little things. And slowly, a little bit at a time, the foundation began to be built up. And I went from just attending occasionally and, you know, hanging out with the young adults and kind of participating with them, to all of a sudden giving a Bible study. And then I got more responsibility. I got involved in other ministries at the church. I went on a mission trip. And then I had more responsibility. I became an elder. And then I had more responsibility. They started asking me to preach. And God began to build and work in me something beautiful. But it took time. That was over almost 5 years. But I kept putting one foot in front of the other and saying, God, what is it that you want me to do today and be today and see today and witness to today? Who do you want me to witness to today? And it was through that daily surrender and that daily growing that Christ could use my investment or his investment in me and grow it. It wasn't anything I did. It was what Jesus did in me and what Jesus can do in you. And I think we need to remember that day by day as we go through each day with what we have. You know, I think of some people in the Bible. David. David was faithful in taking care of his father's sheep. And who did David eventually, what did he eventually do? He reigned over a whole kingdom, right? God entrusted him with a nation, but he started with sheep. Joshua was faithful as Moses' servant, and God made him a leader. Joseph was faithful in all his ways, and God exalted him to the second most powerful position in Egypt. You know, faithfulness in the little things indicates that we're trustworthy in great things. Amen? It shows our dependability. So if you want to be a great servant of God, and I know we all do, we should take time to look at the little things he's asked us to do today. You know, God invests in us. Amen? He invests in us, oh man, on a daily basis. The minute we wake up, he's there. Hey, I'm here, Case. Let's go, right? Connie, I'm here. I want to be with you today. I have great and mighty plans for you, Paul, God says. But you know, as I was praying this week and thinking about this week, Jesus makes great investments in us through our gifts he gives us, through our talents, through the blessings he provides. Those are all wonderful. But I'm here today to stand before you to say the greatest investment we have and we can say hallelujah to is Jesus. Because in Luke 19:10 it says, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And that includes every human being on the face of the planet. Every human being that is stuck in the miry pit of sin is able to be victorious and an overcomer because of Jesus. Because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. So I stand before you this Christmas, this holiday season, praising God that he's invested in Jesus, and Jesus has won. Please, this holiday season, remember the reason and the investment that God made in Jesus for each one of us, and how that investment can infuse in us a spark and a movement for our friends and family members, our neighbors, our coworkers, and people all over the globe to see and witness Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you sent Jesus down here some 2,000 years ago, Father, to live on this earth, to be born in a little manger, Father. And Lord, it's so magnificent to go back into the Old Testament and to read about those prophecies that predicted the Messiah and how he would be born, where he would be born, who he would become, what he would do. And Father, the greatest news is that he lived a sinful life for all of us here today. And he died a death that we deserve so that we could live a life that he has for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you invested in him so that you could invest in us. And Father, as we go through this holiday season, may we remember that great investment that was made for us. And Father, may we recognize that you still today are wanting to work through each of us to share the gospel. Please bless every family here this holiday season, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.